Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Could we please stay standing? Hallelujah. Bob calls it preparation. The Holy Spirit calls it messed up. I'm a mess. I hope I can get through this tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus. All you desire is a broken and a contrite spirit. Nothing pleases you like people who are broken before you, where we are willing to break down every element of pride in us and allow you to have your way. Tonight, Father, we have worshipped, we have praised, we have given you what you desire us to give. But we realize that we cannot go anywhere unless we are broken before you. And so tonight, once again, we break ourselves before you. Father, we pray that you are going to have your way in this place, oh God. Begin with us. Begin with us. We don't want to live where you are. We want to stay where you are. Where you are, oh God. That is why we want to begin by saying, you give you all the glory. Hallelujah. We worship you, O Lord. You are worthy to be praised. We worship you, O Lord. You are worthy to be praised. I want you to repeat that line. We worship you alone. You are worthy to be praised. Sing again. We worship you alone. You are worthy to be praised. Only you, Jesus. Only you, Jesus. Nobody else. Nobody else. Only you, Jesus. You deserve the worship. You deserve the praise, oh God. For this reason, you created us, that we may give you the praise that is due your name. We have given praises to many other things, to many other people. But tonight we give it all to you. We give it all to you. We give it all to you. We give it all to you, Jesus. Receive it all and speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can have your seats. Praise God. If you come from Africa, that's what we do when we are talking to people. We like to say praise God all the time, and you respond by saying amen. Can we try that again? Praise God. Amen. That sounds good. That sounds good. Well, my name is Lydia Jerry Works. Mr. Works is the one who plays the bass guitar. And I must confess that I'm nervous. So intercessors, do you what you do best. I know it's so easy to do something because you've done it over and over again. But there's something about what God does with me that just messes me up. And it's a good mess because that tells me that I have to totally depend on Him. Not what I've done before, not what I've always known, but to realize that I cannot do this without Him. I cannot. And if to you my accent sounds a little weird, it's because I'm torn between three accents. I am a Nairobian, a girl raised in the big city of Nairobi in Kenya, born and raised in the city. I am a Kikuyu, which is one of the tribes out of the 42 tribes in Kenya. And I came to America and I'm trying to fit into the American accent, which normally doesn't work. And I know that because of my husband, who always asks me, what was that again? And when I go home, I'm lost because when I go to Kenya, the Kenyans can't understand me because I'm trying to talk in the accent that I thought I gained from America. So somehow in the midst of it all, I pray that the Holy Spirit will grab a hold of your hearts and speak to you in the best way he can. And because of time, I'm not going to read the whole story of what I had to share. But if you have your Bible, you can open with me the book of Luke chapter 7. And while you're opening your Bibles, I would like to share a little bit of myself. As I said, I was born and raised in Nairobi. I'm the last born of 8 siblings. I've lost 3 so far. So we are 5 of us left. And life was not easy. I come from a very humble background. And that humble background had some things that happened that literally changed me, changed the way I thought life would be. If you're like me, you grew up knowing what you want to become. You grew up with a picture and an image of what you want life to give you. But then at some point, stuff happens and you kind of lose your identity. You lose yourself and you lose some things that you thought you knew about life. For me, it happened when I was little, and I'm not going to go into that because I know if I was to hand each one of you this microphone, each one of us has a story. Ain't that the truth? Each one of us has something that will make each one of us cry because you want somebody to hear the pain you've gone through or the success you've gone through. But out of it all, what I have come to understand about life is that no matter what path life has taken you, there is something in you that God wants to use. There is nothing that you go through that is out of work, that is not necessary, that didn't matter, no matter how painful it is. There is nothing, can you tell your neighbor, nothing, nothing in you that God can't use. It took a painful, painful past for me to understand that. At a point where I even thought of suicide. At a time where I can't account for 1989 because all I did was sleep out of depression. And it was so deep that I remember the first time I got delivered and went outside at a temperature of 90 degrees and I felt the heat for the first time. I couldn't feel it. I was so numb and so gone that I even thought of suicide at some point of my life. You ask me why I worship like I do. I always tell people, don't judge my worship if you don't know the story behind it. If you don't know the story behind it, it comes from a place where I know for a fact if it wasn't for Jesus, I wouldn't be here today. Reason because at some point I even had picked up a spot where I wanted to commit suicide. And that day, being who I was in school, I was the head girl, which we call head girls in the British system, where you're the head of every girl in the school. I was the head of the Christian Union, so I knew God. I knew what God can do. But that in itself was not enough because I hadn't known him for myself. Unless you reach a place where you know God for yourself, stuff that happened to you will always push you to a place where you're asking questions like, why, God? Why did this happen to me? Why is it happening to me? And that's who I was. And that day when I thought of committing suicide, I remember one of the girls that I was looking after, she was under me as what we call the prefects. The people that were in charge of classes, because I was in charge of the whole school, came to me. And she had snuck out of school or out of the class because she wanted to check me out. Without knowing, she was a divine appointment, Pastor Bob, from God to interrupt with what I wanted to do. And because of that, I'm here today to testify that Jesus is able. Jesus is able. And the story I want to share with, so that I don't bore you, if you want to know much about me, you can see me later. But let's go to the Word of God so that you don't go saying she didn't even read the Bible. Because you got religious people, unless you read the Bible, they think they didn't have church. Okay. Luke chapter 7 verse 44. Then he answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more, he said to him. Then he turned to the woman and said, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair and with her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven you. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. I love the story of the woman with the alabaster box, because one thing I've learned, I've studied it over and over, I've probably shared it a few times, but I can identify with this woman just from the little I've shared with you, because there is something about her life that was different. If you read the previous verses, you'll realize that the setting that they had in the Jewish community, which I don't know, I can claim to know much, but one thing I know is that it was wrong, because in my culture, we have the same thing. If the men are sitting at a table eating, the women are not supposed to show up. They only show up to serve and go back to the kitchen. We don't sit where men are. And I know for a fact that this woman, because of the label she was given by her community, was not anything that was supposed to show up in that room where Jesus was. And not just Jesus, even the Pharisees and the sad, as you see, I call them, were there. These are religious people who are so good at judging. They're so good at giving labels. And the label they gave her was a harlot. They knew that her lifestyle, she probably deserved that title because she was a harlot. But I know for a fact that she had already known something about Jesus because of what the Bible says, that she went ahead and bought an alabaster box. And this box had a perfume in it that was expensive. And the reason it's expensive, it's because the Bible also says and records that this perfume made one particular guy angry, and he said, if only this oil had been saved or had been sold so that the money can be given to the poor. That was not cheap perfume. It wasn't cheap perfume. It was expensive. And the alabaster flask was also important, because the way it was already presented, it must have had some cost in it. And one thing I've learned about life is that these bodies we've been given us, these bodies that we've been given represent that alabaster box. You know, yesterday I went to Goodwill. I was telling my husband, I had such a cute idea what I was going to do tonight. And I went ahead and I picked up all these coffee mugs and I piled them in my purse, in the cart, and I was going to pay for them. And just when I got to the cashier and the Holy Spirit, you know how the Holy Ghost has a way of interfering, and he says, not tonight. This was your idea. It's not my idea. And the thing, because I've done it before, I have used mugs where I have mugs laid on the altar and you come and you pick up your mug, and that mug represents your empty life. when you empty that coffee mug. It's empty. And God is the only one who can handle and can take care of empty vessels. So look at your life like a vessel that is empty. A vessel that has literally representing the alabaster box. And the Bible records, this woman comes where these guys are sitting. And it was their tradition that when a visit comes in, you're supposed to come and wash their feet. And this Pharisee, which we also call far as you see, this far as you see guy, forgot that Jesus needed to be washed in his feet. And it was their tradition. So it's not like he was all there. He forgot one important thing. And even in that, there is this one woman who looked at Jesus and she had already calculated her steps. Because when she went in, her focus was nobody else but Jesus. Her focus was not on the far as you see guys or as sad as you see guys. It was on Jesus. And she went straight to where Jesus is, crying and breaking before God. Tell me if that is not worship. Tell me if that is not a pure sign of brokenness. I don't know what was making her cry. But I know for a fact because of the labels that she was given. One thing about her is that everything about her was so wrong. And the only person who could give her what she needed that day was Jesus. And she knew no matter what, yes, I might be in trouble with this. They might even stone me to death after this encounter. But I don't care. I don't care if they stone me because one thing I know, Jesus has the answer to what I need. And that is the life after this. Even if they stoned her, guess what? She would still live again. Even if they killed her that particular moment, she would still have had an encounter with Jesus. But for some reason, nobody touched her. So she goes straight to Jesus and she falls on his knees. And she starts crying. And the Bible records that she uses her hair to wipe his feet and to literally lavish love on Jesus. And you know, every time I think about a passage like that, I ask myself, when is my worship going to be so real that I don't care? I don't care about anybody else. I don't care about what people think because I know Jesus is the one who knows me best. And in that particular moment, it was just her and Jesus. And what is happening to the other guys? They're wondering, what is this guy? If he claims to be God, can't he perceive what kind of a woman she is? Can't he perceive? They're judging instead of soaking the moment. How many times do we come to church and you see somebody worshiping and you're just like, it's her. We judge them. But again, we don't know where people have gone. You don't know what people have gone through. I have learned, and it has taken a long time for me to learn. When I see somebody broken before God, I don't know the story of their lives. Let them get broken. When you see somebody coming to the front, let them be. You don't know where they're coming from. If they are at the feet of Jesus and they know this is where they can get their answer, let them be. But with this flask, back to the woman with the alabaster box. She takes the flask and she breaks it. And when she breaks it, the perfume fills the room. The perfume fills the room. And it was the perfume that made somebody somewhere so angry because the smell made them realize this ain't cheap. This is not cheap. You know, when I think of our lives like an alabaster box, that is what God wants us to do. When you break yourself before God, there is some aroma that comes out of you. You might not know it, but heaven knows it. You might not understand it, but heaven understands it. And that is why I believe David reached a place where he got to realize that a broken and a contrite spirit, God will never despise. It doesn't matter what life has handed you. What life does when it hands us stuff that we cannot make sense out of. It makes us hard. It hardens us so much. You find somebody who has been hit so hard and they chose some other path. There are those who choose path of addiction of whatever kind. And there are those who hide their emotions. And the very thing that God can use in His presence, we hide them because of what we have gone through. And yet what God desires of us is where we break it. You break it. Break yourself. And when you break it and that perfume rises to God, then He's ready to use you. He is willing to use you. He is willing to use you. Life had made me one of the hardest women. I don't even understand that I can cry today because I didn't know how to cry. I hated myself so much, I never looked at myself in the mirror. I hated myself so much, I didn't even want to do any shopping for myself. I survived on hand-me-downs from my sisters. And when the day came and I was born again, but the day I realized that I need Jesus, I need to know Him for me, not for anybody else, not from the preacher who preaches every Sunday, because I was a worship leader. I sang specials before people, we gave offerings, but that was not enough. It's so easy to go around with emotions. It's so easy to do things because you know how to do them anyway. And you can almost even tell what the preacher is going to talk about. But that is not what pleases God. The only thing that pleases God is when you're ready to break yourself before Him. And you begin to realize that unless I become like that woman, unless I reach that place where I have to understand that the only one who knows this mess and can take care of it for real is nobody but Jesus. And you go straight to where He is. Right to where He is. And even when everybody else was talking, the labels don't matter that time. The labels don't matter. And one thing I've also come to understand is the labels that people give us don't matter as much as the labels we give ourselves. It's one thing to be called ugly, but it's another thing to call yourself ugly. It's one thing to be called disgusted, but it's another thing for you to call yourself disgusted. What do you tell yourself every day? What kind of conversations do you have within yourself every day? Because friends, no matter how many times we worship, no matter how many times we jump, it is what you tell yourself that makes you. What are you telling yourself every day? I told myself all kinds of things until the first time God told me I am special. I'm busy cleaning because that's all I could do after I dropped out of school when I got so sick. And I'm cleaning the house and a song bursts out of my spirit. And I start singing, I am worth than the lilies of the valleys. I am worth and more than the birds of the air. And that song became the number one song in my country after I was able to record it. And even before it got to that place, I remember going to church and singing it before people, and people were crying, but I never felt special until that day when God told me, look at yourself in the mirror and sing it to yourself. And I started singing. Remember, I didn't like even looking at myself in the mirror. And I'm singing this song and I'm saying, you are special in the eyes of the Lord. And I start crying for the first time. Remember, in my culture, we don't show emotions. I had never had my mother tell me she loves me. Nobody in my family has ever looked at me in my eyes and tell me, I love you. And I didn't expect it because we just don't do that. We don't. You just know that you're loved by the things you're given. You know your mother loves you by what she shows you. And then I come to this culture where, hi, honey, I love you, I love you. And sometimes I don't even know whether it's for real or not, because love is so easily given. And I remember when Jesus finally told me he loves me. And I believed it for me. And the healing began. The healing began. And back to the woman with the alabaster box. That moment of her with Jesus was enough. Was enough worship for her to feel forgiven. When you stand before God, whether here in church or back at home, I always say that worship is a lifestyle that begins at home. What we do here is called congregational worship. And it's good. It's good to come and do all we do. But what do you do at home when you're by yourself? Because that's what makes you. And when we come here, we are here because we are combining whatever we have already been doing in the secret. And can you imagine the fire that we would be coming with if each one of us came with what we have from our secret place and begin worship? I tell you, that will be the beginning of miracles like never before, because the Holy Spirit is already coming. Not because we are coming to find him here, but because you brought him from home. Because you brought him from home. And that is what a broken person does. I am not there yet. God knows I was struggling even today. I almost called you and told you that I'm not coming, because I was so afraid. I was so afraid of doing this. But then I remembered that if God has given me this message, I have to share it. And I have to tell you that God desires a broken and a contrite spirit. Every story of my life has become something that has broken me. It has broken me for real. It's not like God will come or drop something out of heaven and hit you, boom, and then you're broken. He doesn't do that. Just look at the life of your story. What do you face every day? What kind of difficult people do you face every day? That's where your brokenness is. How do you handle those situations when you're really, really broken? Because when you get broken, you're like, God, I don't understand. I call myself all spiritual, but why is this happening to me? God wants to use the mess of your life. And to turn it into a message. He wants to take every little scar in your life and to turn it into a star. And he wants to take every pain in your life and turn it into his gain. Because after all has been said and done, you are the one who gains. You are the one who's going to enjoy that life. You are the one who's going to enjoy that freedom. But that freedom only begins when you step out of your comfort zones, where you step out of everything you know and you say, Father, I'm ready to begin all over again. I'm ready for you to take over again. I'm ready to empty myself. I'm ready to break myself all over again. And that is what I've learned to do every day, because I realize that I cannot do this thing called life without him. I can't. I don't know how to. Even when I went home, back home, I thought I would share a lot about what God was able to do when I went to Kenya in March. But that was such an eye-opener for me. When I went back to my family and I realized they don't even understand me anymore. Nobody understands me because they have seen what God has done in my life. And they can all testify that that is God working in her. And when I came back here, I looked at what I have, everything around me, and I was broken all over again. This time broken not because I am disgusted or I'm depressed. This time broken because I'm so full of gratitude of what God has done. I'm so full of a heart of thanksgiving, because for sure I don't deserve anything other than what God has given to me. And without much further ado, I'd like us to stand up. And I would like us to just get back to that place. There's this song that God gave me. By the grace of God, I've been able, I don't like talking about it so much, I've been able to release 3 CDs and the 4th one on the way. And some of these songs, it was even hard to go to the studio, because they were so personal. They were very personal songs to me. And I felt like I was opening my life all over again. But the first time it played in the radio back in my country, and I got the first review, and somebody said, "That is me. That is me, because I know what I've gone through. This is something that God just has used to heal me. I never went to any doctor. He healed me through songwriting. I never knew I could write a song until He started downloading and pouring songs into my life." And that is the song I'd like to hear. I'd just like to sing for you. Don't let this moment pass you by. Don't let this moment pass you by. This is the day for your visitation. This is the time for you to receive. You gotta yield to the Spirit. Lay your life on the altar. Don't let this moment pass you by. 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 This is the day for your visitation. This is the time for you to receive. You gotta yield to the Spirit. Lay your life on the altar. Don't let this moment pass you by. No, no, no. Don't let this moment pass. Don't let a moment in your life pass you by. Don't let any moment in your life pass you by. I wish my brother had listened to me when I told him that, and he passed by. He died right in my arms. I wish we can know the urgency of life as it is right now. I wish we can just realize how urgent everything is, because everything is happening so fast right now. Prophecies are being fulfilled left and right, and we cannot afford to let another moment pass us by. We might run too late. Pastor Bob, if you can help me with this altar call.
Oh Lord, we just ask, even right now, as my sister begins to pray, that if any one of us are in that place that you pulled at our heartstrings through this message, and we know the need to be broken before you, I ask that we would surrender, that we would come forward, that we would not worry about the opinions of other people, but we would just be obedient to what you're saying to us. So we open up this altar, and we ask, Holy Spirit, give us the courage to just come and make that declaration of laying everything down, because it's for our benefit. It's for our honoring you and showing our love to you, but most of all, to be a broken vessel so that our fragrance would begin to arise and begin to cause others to know that there is something that's far more beautiful. There's a far more greater fragrance, something like we've never ever smelled before. And that's you, the beauty and the fragrance and the aroma of your love. Going to have Lydia pray right now for you.
Father God, I thank you and I praise you because yes, what you desire is a broken and a contrite spirit. I thank you for these ones that have come before you, Lord. The fact that they have stepped out and come before you. I thank you because I know you honor that. And Father, I thank you even for those of us who have not even come to the front. Father, we come before you, Jesus. Sweet Spirit of God, may you begin to sweep over this room right now. May you begin to sweep over this room right now. And sweep over the hearts of our people, of your people. And even begin to do something new as we break ourselves and surrender everything to you all over again. As we surrender, sweet Spirit of God, we cry that you will begin to do a work in us. Go right deep into our hearts where we have been broken by situations that have come into our lives, by people who have come and hurt us over and over again, by things that have come and happened in our lives, traumas that we have faced that changed the way we view you. Holy Spirit of God, you are the healer. You are the healer. You are the healer. And tonight I pray that you will begin to heal all over again. Do what only you can do, sweet Spirit of God. And pour out your healing balm upon your people this evening. May you begin to pour out a healing like only you can do in Jesus' name. May you dig deep into the souls and into the emotions and into every part of our minds that has been hurt. And bring a healing like only you can do. Because this is the day of our visitation. Oh, yes, this is the day of visitation. And we surrender ourselves before you. We surrender ourselves before you. And we pray that you will begin to glorify yourself. Even as you teach us how to trust in you. How to pour ourselves before you. We break ourselves before you, Father God. Yes, we break ourselves before you. And we pray that you will begin to do it to the glory of your name. To the glory of your name. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Don't let this moment pass you by. Don't let this moment pass you by. This is the day for your visitation. This is the time for you to receive. You gotta yield to the Spirit. Lay your life on the altar. Don't let this moment pass you by. No, no, no. Don't let this moment pass you by. Don't let this moment pass you by. Don't let this moment pass you by. This is the day of your visitation. This is the time for you to receive. You gotta yield to the Spirit. Lay your life on the altar. Don't let this moment pass you by. No, no, no. Don't let this moment pass you by.
Come on, can you try and sing it with me? Even if you don't sing anything else. Just say, don't let this moment pass you by. And as you sing it, you're singing it to yourself. Hallelujah.
Jesus. We thank you. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would seal this moment and that this moment would be special from this day forward, a time that you shifted things in our heart and our willingness to lay things down. I ask, God, even as we walk out of this room, that you would begin to just speak to us about the great desire that you have for us to be with you and the need for us to shift some things in our lives so that we spend more time with you and hearing your voice and hearing the love songs that you desire to sing over us and the love songs that we can sing back to you because we've been in your presence. And so, God, I ask for a great shifting. I ask, God, for a great annihilation of religious ways and religiosity and the way that we think it should be, that our judgments would fall by the wayside and we would begin to be free in the movement and the wind of the Holy Spirit as we say yes to our beloved King. We say yes to the one who laid everything down for us. So this is a day and this is a night of a shift. We thank you. We honor you.
Jesus, you're the best thing that ever happened.
Ever happened.
Jesus, you're the best thing that ever happened. Jesus, you're the best thing that ever happened to me. Oh, I say, Jesus, you're the best thing that ever happened. Jesus, you're the best thing that ever happened. Jesus, you're the best thing that ever happened to me.
You know, as we sing that song, something just came into my heart. If you can grab a partner, and I want you to pray for that person like you pray for yourself. Just grab somebody. Because sometimes all we need is just somebody to pray with us. And I know that you're going to pray for that person. Everything you pray for yourself, grab somebody and just pray for them.
Jesus, you're the best thing that ever happened. Oh, Jesus, you're the best thing that ever happened to me. Jesus, you're the best thing that ever happened. Jesus, you're the best thing that ever happened. Oh, Jesus, you're the best thing that ever happened to me. Jesus, you're the best thing that ever happened. Jesus, you're the best thing that ever happened. Jesus, you're the best thing that ever happened. Jesus, you're the best thing that ever happened to me. Oh Lord, I say, Jesus, you're the best thing that ever happened. Jesus, you're the best.